Welcome back to the Tennessee Star Report with your host, Michael Patrick Leahy.
And welcome back to the Tennessee Star Report. We are joined on our newsmaker line now by John Saylor, who is a senior fellow at the National Association of Scholars, just put out a report called The Anatomy of a Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion Takeover. It's about what happened at the University of Tennessee. Good morning, John.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
So, out of all of the universities in the United States, why did you pick the University of Tennessee?
Well, you know, I think that the reason this is such a good example is because the University of Tennessee has taken a unique approach to infusing this diversity, equity, and inclusion bureaucracy and the really ideology that that bureaucracy pushes throughout its school. So a lot of universities will create diversity, equity, and inclusion plans, but what University of Tennessee has done is they have actually told every department within the university, every school, every administrative unit to go ahead and make a plan, their own diversity, equity, and inclusion plan that really has to be exhausted. So what you have is layer upon layer of DEI policy that, exerts influence on almost every aspect of the university. It's really remarkable to see the scope of this policy reform.
What is the statutory authority for the University of Tennessee in doing this?
The University of Tennessee is allowed to tell, the administrators are allowed to tell their units and the various departments, various schools within the university to execute or to create and execute a plan like this. And moreover, in reading these many plans, you get the impression that these schools and these units are more than willing to create what I call a DEI overhaul. So you have schools massively reforming their curriculum. You have schools implementing new curriculum audits and reviews, where every year they will review their curriculum to make sure it includes the right kind of teaching, the right kind of what I would say is blatant ideology. There's really no evidence that schools were not willing to do this, and that's bolstered by the fact that they really go all out in trying to institute a sort of new approach to education at the university.
The we know many of the members of the Tennessee General Assembly. They don't support this. They've been made it clear to the University of Tennessee that they don't support this kind of stuff. How does the University of Tennessee have the audacity to get away with this stuff?
Well, universities are the culture within universities, and especially the culture within the administration, is very much far removed from the broader culture that they serve. So most people in Tennessee, and certainly most people in the Tennessee legislature and in Tennessee government, would not approve of far-reaching DEI policies at Tennessee's flagship public university. And yet, you know, university administrators especially face kind of a growing incentive to enact this kind of policy. So I'll give you one example. At least four departments within the university, professors now will now be evaluated for their DEI contributions as a part of either their annual review or their promotion and tenure evaluation. This is, in plainer terms, what we would call an ideological litmus test. You know, DEI, it generally connotes certain ideological commitments to things like race consciousness, to things basically to opposition to the principle of colorblindness. This is basically what you have to say in order to not run afoul of DEI bureaucrats. And You know, now that's a requirement for promotion and tenure. It's a requirement for a lot of faculty candidates to even get an interview now. They have to submit what are called diversity statements, and those statements are often evaluated to screen out people who have the wrong kind of ideas. Not only is that illegal, and not only is that really bad for a university, you know, the general health of the university, which should uphold the principle of academic freedom. What's really interesting about that is actually it's recommended by the National Professional Organization of Diversity Officers. So the National Association of Diversity Officers in Higher Education specifically recommends creating this kind of diversity, equity, and inclusion job requirement that requires professors to contribute to DEI for promotion and tenure. So while that falls out of line in the minds of a lot of people, ordinary people in Tennessee, it is absolutely the kind of thing that universities are itching to do if their state and if the people in charge allow them to do it.
So you write in this report, the University of Tennessee's diversity action plans are nothing short of a blueprint for an institutional overhaul. Such a takeover will have obvious implications for education at the University of Tennessee. True education will erode. Indoctrination will flourish. That's not a good thing at all, is it?
Yeah, not at all. And if you look at the specifics of the plan, it's really quite remarkable what students will be required to do, what professors will be required to do, and which departments are implementing these kinds of reforms. So, for instance, the College of Engineering, you know, that's no one's idea of the vanguard for race-conscious ideology. But the College of Engineering, not only are they requiring that all faculty candidates submit a diversity statement, not only does their plan say that all faculty who are seeking promotion have to be evaluated based on their contributions to diversity, equity, and inclusion, but they're also requiring students to take diversity seminars and then write, each student is going to be required to write a 2-page essay evaluating their biases.
Oh, my goodness. So let me ask you, was your study only for the University of Tennessee at Knoxville, or did it take the entire University of Tennessee system, including Chattanooga and Martin and a couple other places?
Yeah, this is the University of Tennessee at Knoxville.
Okay.
We submitted a Freedom of Information Act request.
Just there. What's your advice to the Tennessee General Assembly? What and the governor? What should they do like right now to stop this?
So you can take a couple of approaches. One would be target specific policies that are, especially egregious right off the bat. So there is no reason that these litmus tests should be in place at any university. They clearly run afoul of academic freedom. They bring to mind, older issues where universities used to require things like anti-communist pledges. And, it was widely acknowledged that that was a breach of academic freedom.
So I think these pledges are based, I would call these pledges anti-America pledges.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know what's funny? People make the comparison to anti-communist pledges. That was basically just a matter of checking a box. It's not really analogous. Diversity statements require you to talk about what you have done in the past to advance diversity, equity, and inclusion.
Oh, my
what
goodness.
What you plan to do in the future. So just imagine instead that in the 1950s, every faculty candidate was required to talk about what they've done in the past to oppose communism and what they plan to do in the future to mentor students to oppose communism.
Oh, my goodness.
Then you get the idea of what this is actually requiring, especially when concepts like DEI are absolutely politically loaded. They entail certain substantive political views that are pretty obvious when you look into the programming produced by any DEI officer at all. And so legislators have the power to say, no, they have the power to say, it is illegal to evaluate job candidates or faculty members on the basis of their contribution to DEI.
John Saylor with the National Association of Scholars, author of the new report, Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion, Takeover the University of Tennessee. John, thanks so much for joining us. Come back again in January when the Tennessee General Assembly convenes, and you could perhaps give them some direct advice. Would you testify before a committee if called?
Absolutely.
All right, John Saylor, thanks for joining us. We'll have more when we get back.
Thank you so much.
This is the Tennessee Star Report. I'm Michael Patrick Leahy.